As we celebrate 50 years since Title IX was passed, our next 30 for 30 film is titled Dream On, the story of the 1996 USA Women's Basketball Dream Team that changed the landscape of women's athletics forever. It premieres tomorrow, 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific on ESPN, available on ESPN Plus immediately following the premiere. On this Turn Back Tuesday, let's go to 1998. On this day, Michael Jordan crossing over Brian Russell. Game winner, money. Holding form there. Jordan's last shot in a Bulls uniform, capping another three-peat. Vince, your thoughts here.
My thoughts is a college kid just said he's going to enter the draft, and you see Michael Jordan doing this. And when he said, I'm retiring, I was like, man, okay. But it was amazing to see MJ pull off that. I know everybody says he pushed off, but, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. When you talk about clutch, you always have to show this video because that is the clutch shot.
Did he push off, though?
No. No, it was a tap. It was a love, it's a love tap. You know, for today's game, Kevin, that's a love tap. That's just – or in the game during that time.
Yes.
That's just creating space. I mean, it was a hands-on game at that time.
So yes. No. Well, you broke the hearts in Utah, of course. I love that he held form, and I love that the Tar Heel's sticking up for the Tar Heel regardless, no matter what time, place, or situation.
It.
Welcome back to Get Up Here. Coming to you live from Bristol, Kevin Negandhi here this Tuesday morning, filling in for Greeny, who's, of course, on the road covering the NBA Finals. It's time to get up with the Warriors for a win away from another title. Got a huge night from an unlikely source. He was bottled up all night. One teammate thinks Steph Curry was livid after the game. Why? That's a good thing. To the NFL, Lamar Jackson was in his castle yesterday at Ravens minicamp. Why the Baltimore quarterback may be playing a high-stakes long game right in front of our eyes. As we get you ready for Get Up, and let's go to the game of the night. And it features Game 5 of the NBA Finals Series tied at 2 apiece in San Francisco. It's now a 3-game series. Steph Curry, quiet night for him. Not the same for Draymond. There's the aggressive attack. 8 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, setting the tone early on. They were up by 11 at the break. I should say after one quarter. Then Celtics and those turnovers. 18 in the game. 5 by Jaylen Brown in transition. Steph facilitating. Andrew Wiggins, how about 16 points in this one in the first half? Warriors up by 12. Then the Celtics coming back and answering with Jason Tatum. Big third quarter. They explode for 35 points. They erase a double-digit deficit, and they're feeling really good on the road. 7-0 coming off a loss. Meanwhile, what's wrong with Steph Curry? 0-for-9 from 3. The block there on the break, and Grant Williams, the and-one finish. Curry upset with himself. That snaps a NBA record of 233 games with at least 1-3. Jordan Poole got the 3 right there to close out the third quarter. He had 14 points. And the Warriors and that vibe, yeah, just in time, they're feeling really good. Because entering the fourth, close game, and then suddenly the Celtics, they vanished on offense. The next 8 minutes, they had just 5 points. Can anybody help Steph Curry on an off night? Yeah, Klay Thompson, 21 points, 5 triples, and then Wiggins. Monster performance. It was the Andrew Wiggins game. 26 points, 13 rebounds. Celtics, again, they struggled in the fourth quarter. First time they lose back-to-back games in the postseason. Steve Kerr, one win away.
We have a chance. We got two cracks at getting one win. But we also know how difficult it's going to be. So nobody's celebrating, but we're excited to be in this spot, and we want to take advantage of it.
Obviously, we're all frustrated with tonight a little bit, but even prior, you know, quarters and games. And so our message is to take it one at a time. We've been here before and did it against Milwaukee, and let's bring it back out to the Bay.
Well, Jason Tatum, he finished a familiar trend this series of starting strong and then running out of gas. He's shooting 24% in the fourth quarter this series compared to a whopping 56% in the opening quarter. How about last night when they needed him the most? He was 1 of 5 in that fourth quarter. And again, now the Celtics facing elimination game 6 tomorrow night. I should say Thursday night on ABC. There are a lot of storylines to get to here. And let's bring in our guys, our analysts here, Vince Carter, Amari Stoudemire, and Alan Hahn. This team's on the ropes. What happened, Vince, in this fourth quarter where it felt like the Celtics took over in the third, they're feeling good, they have the momentum, and then the offense just vanishes, led by Tatum?
You're right, Kevin, a 35-point third quarter. I said, oh, man, Boston Celtics have now conquered the third quarter, you know, which has been their Achilles heel, and then the fourth quarter happens. And I thought, just talk about Jason Tatum for a second. I thought at times he settled for jump shots when, you know, he should just drive to the basket, and then I thought he was hunting for fouls, trying his best. You see here, settling for the jump shot instead of trying to get into the basket, get a little closer. I know the percentages are what they are, but it's just your approach, and his approach was kind of settling and then trying too hard to just draw a foul, get a foul, instead of just get a basket and let the play happen or play out as it may. So, and then obviously Jaylen Brown struggled. So usually when Jason Tatum was struggling, you had Jaylen Brown to really help, and they both struggle. When you have 18 turnovers a team, we know what happens to the Boston Celtics, but when you're two stars and the two guys that have the ball in their hand all the time have 9 of those 18, that spells trouble.
Amari, when you look at Tatum, 44 minutes, no one's logged more minutes than him in the postseason in these 23 playoff games. It feels like that Heat series, 7 games, that Bucks series, 7 games, is taking a toll. Are you sensing that fatigue's the storyline here for Brown and Tatum in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, you're playing a lot of minutes, obviously, because you got to carry your team and win a championship, right? This is what's required of you. And the legend Vince Carter is correct. You know, I feel like Jason Tatum is looking to draw fouls more than he should be. Just look to score the basket. You know, you've seen every coverage. You've seen what teams are trying to do. You know the double teams are coming from. The adjustments that the Golden State Warriors have made, you've already seen all the adjustments. So now mentally prepare yourself for what you're going to see out there in the basketball court and attack them as such. I think Vince is spot on with that. Like, you have to stop searching for foul calls and be aggressive and look to score the basketball and try to take over and dominate the fourth quarter.
Well, when the Celtics commit at least 16 turnovers this postseason, they're 1-7, Allen. Last night, 4 turnovers in that fourth quarter, none by the Warriors. Is this their undoing this entire series? They cannot control the basketball late in games?
Yes, and that's a credit to the Golden State Warriors defense, too, which is something that the Celtic players and also Ime Udoka did point out. What the Celtics are doing defensively is a reason why they're turning it over. You know, they're not being careless. They just don't have anywhere to go. They're getting bottled up. Brian Windhorst did a terrific story on that on ESPN.com this morning. I was just checking through it, and it was going along with what we were talking about earlier in the show. But when it comes to winning time, it's time for Jason Tatum. I mean, all the fatigue excuses and any of the other excuses we want to make for him, we'll make. He shouldn't. Because we remember, as he referenced, Game 6 against the Bucks, he and Giannis went toe-to-toe, and they had to win that game, and he was phenomenal with 46 right. points, answering Giannis. Every time Giannis was trying to end that series, Tatum said, oh, no, we're going to keep playing. We're sending this thing back for a Game 7. He's got to have – it's been 10 games. It's been a month since that game. He has not been the same player, and if he wants to put all those pelts on the wall, Kevin Durant, Giannis – Jimmy Butler in the Heat defense, and now the Golden State Warriors. Well, you want a seat at the table? That seat's taken right now, Jason, unless you come up with an epic performance at home in Game 6.
Vince, let's take a look at some of these numbers, because the Warriors win with Steph Curry going 7 of 22, 0 for 9 from 3, and just 16 points. The team had 9 threes, 5 of them from Klay. Did the Celtics miss their best chance to take control of this series?
100% missed the best chance, in my opinion. And I think, you know, the narrative has been the drop coverage. And why is Boston sticking with the drop coverage and allowing Steph to just come off the screens and shoot freely? Boston's hoping, you know, they get over the top and contest from behind, but it hadn't been working. And I don't know if it's because of the whispers and what's been saying they changed their coverage, or they felt like they needed to slow Steph Curry down and gamble, hoping they can, that, you know, everyone else wouldn't play well. Well, what happened is they step up. They not allow Steph to get clean looks. And now Klay Thompson goes off. Now Draymond Green gets driving lanes. Andrew Wiggins is allowed to do what he do. You see there, Al Horford, he's up. He's up. You're contesting. It's great. They're making sure it's tough for him. But You get 15 points from Gary Payton. So now you've allowed others to have solid games to make up for the big number that you just give up from one player.
Amari, what's your message to the Celtics after a game like this where you shut down Steph with a great game plan, but everybody else beats you and then you can't close the deal in the fourth?
Yeah, it's going to be difficult right now. I mean, obviously, Steph Curry is the main attraction, right? But one-on-one defenders got to be tied into the game, because if you're doing a good job with Steph Curry and you allow the other guys on the Golden State Warriors to have a great game, then now you're putting yourself in a bad position. So one-on-one defense is going to be key for those other players around Steph Curry to guard. You know, you have to guard, you know, Klay Thompson. You have to guard Andrew Wiggins. You got to guard these guys one-on-one to take them out of the game, because your point of emphasis is so focused on Steph Curry.
Alan, is this series over Thursday night?
Yeah, if I can quote and imitate one of my favorite dunkers of all time, it's over. Over.
It's
IVC,
over.
You remember those days.
Yeah.
This series is done. I mean,
we all remember.
But that's how we quote it. That's how we quote it.
All right, one thing before we go, specifically well in done. This game. It is Andrew Wiggins. You know, we're talking about a guy that talked about potential, never met that potential, traded, of course, by the Cavaliers when the opportunity of being the first-round pick, going to the Timberwolves here, and then coming here and changing his, I think, mindset and his maturity and his growth. 26 points, 13 rebounds. What does this performance tell you specifically, Vince, about what the Warriors culture is all about?
Well, I think it's been understood what the culture is about, and you kind of see it come to fruition with a guy like this. And this is a cool opportunity, because when we always talk about for weeks and since the series started, who's going to be the number two guy? You know, Klay was struggling a little bit. Nobody has ever mentioned Andrew Wiggins. He stayed the course. He's been their second best player. He's been solid. He's just been doing his job. And he says, I'm just doing my job, doing whatever they ask, whether it's defend, rebound, or score. And he's been doing just that, playing solid defense, making things tough for Jason Tatum. And when you're a guy that can as a two-way player doing what he's doing, I mean, you're a huge asset to them. And kudos to the Golden State organization for, one, going to get him, and for, two, developing him. And I think that year when Golden State was struggling and he was kind of their go-to guy, that set them up for this moment to have a player like Andrew Wiggins doing what he's doing on the stage.
Alan, I find that interesting, too, because when the trade actually happened originally with the Timberwolves and D'Angelo Russell, a lot of people thought at the time the Warriors are going to use Andrew Wiggins as a trade chip down the road. His ability to adjust where he's the number one guy in Minnesota, or even the number two guy, to maybe be the number three, four, and five guy that we've seen, that mentality change, what have you noticed about his growth?
Well, it's a maturity in his game now, because him understanding that it's not just about how many points you get and your shots and all those things, but actually he had to adjust even more this year when Klay came back and then Steph was playing full time.
Yes.
Because he had been used to being more of a focal point, especially that first year when everybody was hurt. And now the harder part is understanding how you could still impact the game and affect the game without being the primary and even the secondary a lot of times. He's had to adjust his game, and that's coaching, that's buy-in. And buy-in happens when you're in a place where you trust what's going on around you, when you've seen the impact that kind of coaching and development has had on other players, and you say to yourself, I want to be part of this. And that's exactly what he's done. And he has emerged throughout this playoffs to this point now. So this is almost like the pinnacle of really where he has, or where they have seen him go. So now, can they finish the job? Can he raise a trophy? Can he be a big part of a championship team? He goes from a guy that some people thought might have been a number one pick who was a bit spoiled and overpaid to a guy that is a champion. He's one game away.
That's a big credit to Bob Myers and what this team did after losing Kevin Durant, resetting and then understanding that we have to regroup with our main stars and then we could build around them with the roster here. Okay, guys, thank you so much. Coming up, maybe we're getting this thing wrong about Lamar Jackson. Maybe he's all about winning right now rather than the money. Why that is a risky play from the former MVP. Why one of our guys says you have to sit out. He'll explain. Also, his Warriors won the game last night, but one of Steph Curry's teammates thinks he was livid. Why that is and what it could mean for the Celtics in Game 6. This is Get Up.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Kevin Agati in for Greeny this Tuesday morning. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, Jay-Z and daughter Blue Ivy, father-daughter date night in attendance at the Warriors-Celtics game. And Blue is, that's not, you know, a Hall of Famer here, Vince. That's just my dad who's embarrassing me. Your thoughts about the interaction with Blue Ivy?
Kev, she's like, Dad, you're choking me. This is my moment. Get out of the way.
Exactly.
It's about Blue Ivy right now. I mean, he's like, Dad, like, he's like, ah, stop. You know, that's how it is. That's how our daughters treat us when they get older. I mean, they start feeling like they need their space now, particularly when you have thousands of people watching.
Yeah, she's 10, by the way, and I'm holding on. My daughter's 5. I'm holding on. I still want to be cool.
Hold on,
clearly,
bro.
Doing our best here. I love that, though. It's a great shot. And, of course, the love that Jay-Z has for Blue Ivy, no doubt about it. All right, let's go to the NFL. Let's bring in RG3 back with us here. As mini camps underway throughout the league, take us camping here, RG3, on the three things you're watching, starting with Jimmy Garoppolo and Baker Mayfield.
Hey, that graphic's incredible. Were you talking about Jimmy and the Baker? What's going on, and how did the 49ers and the Browns find themselves in this situation? You know, I'm thinking about it. When's the last time we've had two quality quarterbacks be stuck with a team and not have somewhere to go? This is crazy, but it looks like Jimmy G and the Baker are going to just have to take their dough and just be released and go about their way, and that's unfortunate because they're two high-level quarterbacks. And then, you know, the next thing I want to talk about is the Chiefs. When you look at the Chiefs with Tyreek Hill, they were like the Warriors with KD. Dang near unstoppable. But what are they without him? Are they this year's Warriors who are still really great but vulnerable? Or are they better with the additions of Juju Smith-Schuster, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and Sky Moore? All I know is that when you have Josh Gordon, Corey Coleman, and Justin Ross trying to make the back end of your receiver room, it makes making Tyreek move to Miami seem a little bit better because their depth is crazy good right now. And then, of course, there's Lamar Jackson's storyline with the Baltimore Ravens. He's back at the castle, and all those stories about him not wanting to be in Baltimore and not wanting to go there because it was related to his contract just vanished in thin air. Don't take the bait, people. Lamar Jackson loves Baltimore. He loves his teammates, and he's focused on one thing and one thing only, and that's winning a championship by any means necessary.
I love hearing that. Let's bring in Diana Rossini as well as Jeff Saturday on this subject with Lamar, and we're talking about a guy that's entering the final year of his rookie contract, scheduled to make $23 million this upcoming season. It did not show up at voluntary minicamp earlier this offseason. What should we make of Lamar back here at mandatory minicamp, Diana?
Yeah, so when you hear him talking about it's good to be back in the castle and he's going to be here, he basically just told you what we all want to know, that he's going to be playing for the Ravens, right? Because there's been some questions. Is he going to hold out? What's the situation with the contract? And here's what we know about the contract at this point. It's all on Lamar. When Lamar's ready to talk about it, when he wants to start negotiations, that's when he's going to come to the Baltimore Ravens and say, all right, let's get this thing done. But for right now, no deal, and he's just out there playing.
Well, this is the opposite of the stock market. This stock is going up, up, up each and every day. If Lamar, Jeff, is due for an extension upwards of $200 to $250 million, should he get on the field in your mind this week?
Yeah, this week is fine, Kev, but the next 6 weeks, this is money time. Listen, I sat on the executive committee of negotiations. This is the time when players make the money, right? Patience pays, patience is a virtue, all the things that we talk about. He has been patient. He also just watched a guy get a fully guaranteed $230 million contract that might not even play this entire season. So you're talking about, if you push those numbers together, about $57.5 million a year. you're going to be the highest paid quarterback. You've taken 821 hits over your four-year career, which is insanely higher than any other quarterback in the NFL. At some point, the body takes a toll. We want availability in the ability. So when I look at this, get that cash, Kev. Get that cash. Go get paid. Then go win a championship. We know you're committed. We know you love Baltimore. I love all those things. You walking out there without taking that makes me extremely nervous. I think I want it more for Lamar than he does right now. It pains me, y'all. It pains me.
Especially when you look at the way the landscape is in the NFL, where nothing's guaranteed unless you get that guaranteed money at the start of that contract. And when you hear about those over 800 hits here, RG3, you know Lamar really well. He missed the final four games of the season with an ankle injury. Should he kind of tweak his style of play, being aware of his injuries?
No, guys, he shouldn't tweak his style of play at all. He plays Lamar ball, and he's the only guy who can play that style of brand, and that's what makes him special, right? We love Steph Curry because of the way he plays basketball. We're not going to pay him and then tell him he needs to change the way that he plays. Lamar Jackson's the same exact way. He plays the game a certain way, and to his credit, he doesn't take that many hits, big hits, when he is running, although he does have that high toll of hits on his body. Lamar Jackson is doing this a different way with his play style and how he's negotiating the contract. And what I say is, do you, boo-boo, and keep having fun playing the game. Jeff can want it for you more than he does, but at the end of the day, every day that Lamar Jackson waits to get paid, his price continues to go up.
And we've seen the focus by the Ravens, too, with the offensive line additions this offseason. But, RG3, you mentioned one specific thing too. The wide receivers, they've got to help them as well. And we've been waiting and waiting for a breakthrough from this wide receiver core over the last couple years.
Yeah, we have. And you know, they got Rashad Bateman, who's going to be their new number one, looking for James Prochet to step up for them as well. What I look at the Ravens and I say, they don't have to change Lamar's style of play. They just have to change the way they call plays throughout the year, because you can't run him into the dirt for 17 to 21 games, or just say 17 during the regular season, and expect him to be able to be Superman in the playoffs. They have to use what they invested in that offensive line. The running backs that they're going to be getting back with J.K. Dobbins and Gus the Bus, Gus Edwards. They have to lean on those guys to take some pressure off of Lamar Jackson. But when you talk about changing his style of play, I said this before, you don't ask Steph Curry to play above the rim or become a mid-range jump shooter. You allow him to shoot the three, even when he goes 0-for-9. Man. Lamar Jackson has to be who he is, but they can help him out with play calling.
And when I mentioned they've been waiting, they drafted Marquise Brown in the first round. He didn't develop the way they wanted, so they traded him and then go with Bateman in the first round. So they need one of these hits at the wide receiver position for a team that drafts so well. All right, meanwhile, on planet Earth, one more thing. Did you see the quads of Packers running back A.J. Dillon? He posted this on social media. Dillon using the phrase, hashtag quadzilla. Guys, woo, that's next level.
Gracious.
Hey, you know, hey, those are what I call a pair of McThickums, okay? Them things is, I don't know if anybody wants to tackle him. They're not going low on that, man. You got to gang tackle this guy.
Yeah, you can't see Jeff Saturday from the waist down right now, but he looks exactly like that. So I don't know why you sound so excited.
Let me just tell you, I could spend every day, 2 hours a day in the gym, strictly legs, and never look like that. That right there is a specimen that just separates himself, no doubt.
I mean, when you go to the tailor, like, what are you requesting here specifically? Yeah, can the waist be the same size as my quads? My goodness, that's insane.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, that's why we all watch A.J. Dillon, and he has all the power to post those quads anytime he wants. It's the question sure to be asked in Boston today. Where is Jason Tatum? Answers coming your way.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Kevin Negandhi in for Greeny here on Get Up. As game of the night is game five of the NBA Finals, a three-game series now with the series tied at two apiece in San Francisco. How about 18 turnovers for the Celtics? Five by Jaylen Brown on the break. Steph Curry, off night for him, but still facilitating. Andrew Wiggins, how about 16 points in a single half here? Warriors up by 12 at the break. And then the Celtics, 35 points in the third quarter. Jason Tatum, 27 points. The C's taking the momentum. Final seconds of the quarter, though. Jordan Poole, he had 14 points. Stop, pop, and drop, beating the buzzer. And the Warriors up by one after three. You think it's going to be a close one, but the Celtics went cold. How about being outscored by 9 points in the fourth quarter? Wiggins with 26 and 13 on a night where Steph went 0 for 9 from three. Klay hit five triples, getting ready for game six.
Doesn't mean anything if I go out there and lay an egg in a couple days or a few days. So I'm just excited to build on it and wow, just going to be – I've never been so excited to go to Boston, I'll tell you that.
Ooh, yeah, okay. Will we see game six, Klay? By the way, after getting off to a slow start this series, Klay Thompson has stepped up, no doubt, averaging over 21 points in his last three games, made more three-pointers last night in game five than the rest of the team combined. The Warriors had four, Klay had five, and now they're one win away from another championship. Let's bring back our analysts, and that is Vince Carter, Amari Stoudemire, and Alan Hahn. Let's talk a little bit about Game 6, Klay. It is a vibe, and it is a thing when you look at the numbers. In his last seven Game 6s, Klay is averaging 28 points per. He's starting to heat up. Vince, are we going to see a vintage Game 6 Klay performance Thursday night on ABC?
You guys remember NBA Jam, and when you start knocking down shots and heating up a little bit, he's heating up. That's what Klay is starting to do right now, is heat up. And I think it's just setting up for a game six, Klay, just because of that. And I think that is a blessing in disguise because Steph struggled a little bit, but other guys were able to find their way. We already know what's going to happen with Steph, but Klay, game six,
yeah,
it speaks for itself.
Yes, it does. 21 points. And, of course, Wiggins having a big night. Draymond bouncing back with 8 points, eight rebounds, and six assists. What does it mean here for not just Klay talking about the idea of going back to Boston, but, Amari, what does it mean for Draymond Green to close this thing out potentially in Boston, given the relationship he has with the fans?
Yeah, just to allude to what Vince is saying, you know, with the NBA Jam slogan, like, he's on fire. I do think this is big for Draymond. You know, Draymond wants to definitely close this thing out in Boston. He loves playing the villain role. He loves being that guy that the crowd is always on and kind of chanting on. And, you know. So this is a big deal for Draymond. And I feel like he's going to come out motivated. He's going to make sure his teammates are motivated for this game. And I feel like Klay is going to have a big game as well. So it's going to be a great, great, great game to watch for all the fans out there to watch a beautiful finals game six.
Vince,
tomorrow night.
Yesterday on Get Up here, J.J. Redick told me that there are really no set plays, offensive plays for Draymond in this offense for the Warriors. Mm-hmm. But he was aggressive, and you guys called it. Both you and Amari talked about being aggressive early on. The idea of handling your emotions, because Draymond lives off the edge, off those emotions in that environment in Boston, what will that be like, especially early on in the game?
He's one game away from accomplishing their goal, and that's winning a championship. So I thought driving lanes were created for Draymond in this game, and he was aggressive. You notice when he got the rebound, some of the rebounds, he started to break with aggression, with speed, getting the layup or creating for everyone else. And that's what they need from Draymond, is that really controlling his emotions. And the bigger picture is what? Doing what needs to be done to win for your team. All the other stuff, you can talk all the mess and all the noise you want after you win. Because I know if they win, look out, Draymond's going to have a lot to say to the Boston fans.
Oh, right after the game, Draypod's coming out with another one. His greatest hits here if they get that one in Boston on the podcast. Right. So, Alan, what do we expect here from Steph Curry in a bounce back in game six after just scoring 16 points last night?
Well, I expect him to now put the finishing touches on a Finals MVP. I mean, that's what the great ones do. It doesn't matter the arena. When you're a great player, it's just the court that matters, and it's also that game that matters. He's not somebody that'll dwell on an 0-for-9. Now, the fingertip thing we talked about, Vince was talking about it. You know, the fingernail, if it sounds like a baseball injury, but we'll, you know, that's also withstanding. We'll see if that impacts it at all. But, you know, Hembo put together some things that we were talking about before the show. Michael Jordan, it's the anniversary of 45 points on the road in Utah. Close it out. You had Magic Johnson at 20 years old in Philly in 1980. Close it out, right? You also go back, John Havlicek, you want to go Celtics? Close it out, 1968. He goes for 40 points, and they beat the Lakers in L.A. It's the great ones in the closeout moment. They get it done. This is how you put your signature on a Finals MVP. He had his signature game already, but this is how you close the deal. And I expect Steph Curry to do that on Thursday night.
Yeah, you mentioned the great ones, and historically to do it in Boston, stopping them from getting an 18th banner. That plays a role when you talk about the history of the game. Guys, thank you so much here. Let's remind everybody, of course, as we continued the basketball season, our next WNBA game on ESPN, as well as the app tonight, Diana Taurasi, Tina Charles, Skylar Diggins-Smith, and the Mercury taking on Elena Delladon in the Mystic, 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, then Brianna Stewart and the Storm squaring off against Sylvia Fowles and the Lynx. The 6 p.m. Sports Center will get you ready leading up to a doubleheader here on ESPN tonight in the WNBA. To the NFL, Dolphins star Tyreek Hill says he was underutilized in Kansas City. And that's not all. In his brand new podcast called It Needed to Be Said, Hill was asked by the host which quarterback has the stronger arm, his former quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, or his current quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa.
Tua or Patrick Mahomes? Obviously, like, I'm going to go with 1-5 as the strongest arm, but as far as accuracy-wise, I'm going with Tua all day.
Oh, no pressure. No pressure at all, Tua. Nah, that's okay. We're going to compare you to Patrick Mahomes, so here's what's in front of Tua, Tyreek, and the Dolphins to start out the gate. They open up the season at home against the Patriots, and three of Miami's next four games on the road, including a Thursday night meeting against the reigning AFC champs, the Bengals. Two of their tougher non-division games come later in the season against Justin Herbert, as well as Aaron Rodgers. Let's bring in Diana Rossini and Jeff Saturday and RG3. Jeff, let's start with you first. Did Tyreek just put too much pressure on Tua comparing him to Mahomes? Because I honestly feel like Tua is a victim of circumstance here. He has an opportunity to get better, and now he's in the same sentence as Patrick Mahomes by his star wide receiver.
Yeah, I don't love this. And listen, I know he's trying to take up for his guys, new to the team. He wants to, you know, endear himself to Tua. But here's the truth. I play with two Hall of Famers, Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers. Every question people ask me, they always wanted to compare quarterback. I would never compare them. Look, they're different players. So when you're talking about Patrick Mahomes, this guy's already won a Super Bowl, an MVP. He's had his team in the hunt year after year. Tua's just trying to get his career started and on the right track of what people expected when he was drafted out of Alabama. So when you're talking about putting pressure on a guy, this is a prove-it season for Tua anyway. I just think from Hill's perspective, you know, he's upset with the Chiefs for letting him go. He's at a new team, highest paid receiver in NFL history. He wants to put his name on. I get it, but let's wait until you actually play a game with a guy before you put him in the same sentence.
Robert, how much pressure are you feeling if you're Tua right now after your wide receiver just said that?
Oh, I'm not feeling any pressure. I don't think there's no one that can put more pressure on Tua Tagovailoa right now after what the Dolphins have done to bring in all this talent. So the comparison I make is, listen, just because you put two guys in the same sentence doesn't mean that they're on the same level. If I said that Luke Kennard was the best three-point shooter or is just as good a three-point shooter as Steph Curry, I'd be correct because he led the NBA in three-point shooting percentage this year. But that doesn't mean I'm taking Luke Kennard over Steph Curry. So I just think this is a situation where Tyreek Hill is tired of guys getting on his quarterback, right, going at him, and he is literally going full Terrell Owens, that's my quarterback meme right now. That's my quarterback. He wants people to understand that he believes in Tua, and I respect him for that. But, of course, you don't want to continue to make comparisons because now we're sitting here talking about it.
Diana, when you look at the situation with the organization with the Dolphins, they've been searching for a quarterback for years, since Dan Marino, okay? But they also have a backup plan, and there are rumors about Tom Brady in the offseason. How many weeks will Tua be the quarterback if he struggles out the gate here?
I mean, it's true, right, Kevin? It's no secret that Miami has been flirting a bit with other quarterbacks because they know something about Tua that maybe we don't even know yet, which maybe they don't really believe he's the guy. But he is for now, right? Because now they're invested in him. They make the trade for Tyreek Hill. Their head coach believes in him. He's hoping to help him be more productive. So this could go into the positive range very quickly. So talking about when we're going to see Teddy Bridgewater take over, we're maybe a little early on it, but it's certainly a possibility. And you know, going back to just what Tyreek Hill's doing in terms of comparison, it just makes it really hard for Tua here, right? He already has challenges ahead of him. In fact, I want our executive producer, Pete McConville, to pull that sound so we play it in October and hear if he's talking about Patrick Mahomes versus Tua in terms of accuracy and if he still believes that. Because right now it's June, everyone's in shorts, and everyone's happy.
Pete, by the way, says absolutely. He stashed it to the side because when we see the way the Dolphins' schedule looks like in the first 4 weeks after catching 111 balls, let's see where Tyreek is if he's not getting enough targets his way in this offense. All right, thank you so much. The Splash Brothers didn't make it rain last night, but their Warriors, they won without a big performance from Steph. Does this series get back to the Bay for a Game 7? Jalen Rose waking up and answering that next. Also, it's a little sneaky Hembo time. Redemption for Hembo after yesterday. And this one's for Jalen. What is the only visiting team to clinch the finals on the Celtics' home floor? The only visiting team to clinch the finals on the Celtics' home floor. Time to ponder, Jalen, the answer after this.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Back to sneaky Hembo time. This one's for Jalen Rose. What's the only visiting team to clinch the finals on the Celtics' home floor? Who you got, Jalen?
Oh. So here's the thing. Like, NBA finals, which means it has to be a Western Conference team. Mm-hmm. Them and the Lakers both have 17 championships, but that can't be the answer because that would be too easy. Jeez. And I'm too much of an intellect and basketball savant to say I don't know. So, the Lakers.
Okay, but what year?
Kobe, one of Kobe's championships with Pau Gasol. I was there.
Oh.
So,
I'm going to give you, yeah, I'm going
like
to give you a hint.
2011?
I'm going to give you, it's Kareem and Magic.
Oh, 85.
85 it is. How about that? The correct answer, the Lakers in 1985. How about that? Jalen Rose bringing it. They won Game 6 in Boston, and that's what the Warriors can do Thursday night on ABC. Well done, Jalen Rose. Steph Curry last night.
I love you, Hembo.
He scored 16 points. Struggled, though, from the field. Klay Thompson came up big. How about 21, hitting 5 triples. Andrew Wiggins leading the Warriors with 26 points and 13 rebounds as Golden State outscored the Celtics 29-20 in the fourth quarter to win this one by 10 to take a 3-2 series lead. The Warriors went on a 4-game losing streak at the end of March. Since the calendar turned to April, Golden State has yet to drop back-to-back games. That's a span of little over 2.5 months as they handed the Celtics their first back-to-back losing streak in the playoffs with that win last night on the road. Great to have Jalen Rose wake up with us here on Get Up on the Road. I need to get your thoughts after you watched specifically that third quarter, that explosion by the Celtics and then what the Warriors did. The Warriors carrying that momentum, will they close this series out game six, or do you see this one going the distance and back in San Francisco for game seven on Sunday?
Kevin, I see this one going the distance. I see this one going seven. And for the Boston Celtics, the third quarter yesterday was a pivotal point in a lot of ways because the Golden State Warriors, I've termed them the 31st team in the NBA. Like, they literally come out and they blitz their opponents. They have been doing that to the Boston Celtics in this series. And then the Boston Celtics came out of halftime. They were making shots. They were aggressive. How about the fact they started the game 0-for-12 from three and ended up making eight straight threes? It was a game of ebbs and flows. Jason Tatum got hot in that quarter. The ball was moving. And then all of a sudden, they got stagnant in the fourth. But I gave them credit for the way they played in the third, but they had no choice. They were so awful in the first half, it was only right that they played well in the third quarter. But again, I want to give the Warriors defense a lot of credit. Jaylen Brown attempted 18 shots, Kevin, in the game.
Yep.
17 of those shots were contested. So in the fourth quarter, the Golden State Warriors used Wiggins as a Swiss Army knife. They played him up in the front line. They played him as a slasher a lot of times, like a small ball, 4-5. And the thing is, once they got the contest, they got the miss, they got out in transition. It was the first time all year that Wiggins led the team in points and rebounds in the same game.
You could see the versatility. You could see him blossom, especially in the fourth quarter of game four, carrying that team with the extra rebounds to keep possessions alive. He was tremendous in the second half, of course, when they needed him the most. Let's talk about a guy that the Celtics need the most, and we have seen him struggle in the fourth quarter. I know Jason Tatum had 27 points, but they needed him in the fourth quarter again. He was 1 of 5 from the floor in the fourth quarter. What are you noticing about Tatum in that fourth quarter that's different from the first three quarters of each game in the finals?
Kevin, he's not playing through contact, and he's looking at the refs. After every one of these plays, when the Golden State Warriors are in transition, look, he's looking back at the refs, trying to get a call. Like, the one thing about the NBA playoffs is you got to be more physical offensively driving the bucket than you have at any point in your career. He shot a couple of air balls as well. And again, it's always great D when the offense misses. And I want to give Wiggins credit. I want to give Gary Payton II credit. I want to give Draymond Green credit. When those guys were defending, they were virtually locked down against the Boston Celtics. However, when you Jason Tatum, you got to be more decisive. 1-2 pull up, 1-2 knuckles at the rim, or try to drive to dunk the basketball. It seemed that he was looking for the refs to give him the call versus playing strong. He and Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown was turning the basketball over way too much. It seems like when they start to drive, they start to look down. They start to look at the floor. It's like my high school coach used to say, it's no change on the floor. What you looking at the ground for? You can't see the floor. And so that's one of the things I feel like they need to try to improve at. They've shown that they can be effective at that. They're going to need to be in game six.
Yeah, 18 turnovers in this one. 5 by Jaylen Brown, 4 by Jason Tatum, 4 turnovers as a team in the fourth quarter. It just feels like, though, the Celtics lost an incredible opportunity with Steph Curry having an off night. 7 of 22, 0-for-9 from 3, held to just 16 points. What do you expect to see in game six, the chance to close things out in Boston from Steph Curry Thursday night on ABC?
Oh, Steph Curry going to come out with kill shots. He going to attempt 10 three-pointers in the first half. Like, he attempted 9, and I guarantee y'all, he shot 9 threes in this game. He's going to shoot that in the first half of the next game.
Writing it down.
He's going to go for the kill.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt. And here's the thing. This was a classic example of your best player played the best on the road. 43 points, 10 boards, made 7 threes at Boston. Now you return home. Wiggins plays well. Draymond Green is aggressive offensively. Jordan Poole ends up making a few shots, and everybody starts to feel a lot better about their games playing in front of their home fans. But I believe, am I the first person on this show that was actually at the game last night?
I think you are.
That literally was at the game?
Yeah.
Okay. So let me tell you this, as somebody that didn't sleep really last night. I'm leaving clothes in the bay because we coming back.
Oh, you think
I'm
game
leaving
seven?
Clothes in
okay.
the bay. I literally left the hotel and left my suit for game seven. I'm coming back here. This will be a seven-game series. The Boston Celtics are not only going to respond on their home floor, they're going to win by double digits.
Whoa.
Remember, I told you that.
Whoa. But you just built this whole thing up that you think Steph Curry's going to shoot at least 9 threes, and look what he did in game 4 on the road, a great player trying to keep that team and that season alive. You don't think he's going to go, like you said, the kill shot to end the series in 6 in Boston?
He's going to go for the kill shot. He's going to have a bounce-back game, but I don't think Wiggins is going to have 26. See, that's the difference. Like, your role players in this series in particular have to be a driving force on your home floor. Did Grant Williams play last night? Did he play last night?
Yeah, there were moments.
For the Boston Celtics?
Yeah.
Like, correct. Al Horford had 26 points in game 1.
Mm-hmm.
He's had 30 points total in all 5 games combined.
Yep.
Since then.
Mm-hmm. You're seeing the minutes.
Whatever games it is.
Yep.
Correct. Al Horford, Robert Williams III, Grant Williams are going to all play better. The Boston Celtics win game 6, and I'm going to be suited and booted like Kevin is now with this suit on for game 7.
And the hairline will remain strong. Appreciate you, Jalen Rose. Looking forward to seeing you Thursday night.
Appreciate you, family.
As we continue.
Yes,
by the way, Steph had his 3-point streak snapped by the Warriors. But the Warriors won last night. What kind of shot do Jason Tatum, the Celtics, have in Boston? Stephen A., J.J. Redick, and Molly discuss that on First Take following Get Up.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final tomorrow night. Our coverage starts on ABC at 8 Eastern and ESPN+. The Lightning taking on the Avalanche. We'll see you on the 6 p.m. Sports Center tonight. First Take is next.